Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is LaCharles, and we're so glad you could join us. But before we get into the Word, let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for the joy that you place inside of our lives, Lord, that you have filled us with your joy, Lord, the joy that can only come from you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that that joy takes the form of your Son, Lord, and your Holy Spirit residing inside of us, Lord, that it's a delight to do your will. And Lord, we just thank you that we can share that love and that joy with those who are around us, Lord, to draw them closer to you, Lord, and to be a light in the darkness. Lord, we just thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you here with us, studying the Word and continuing our study in the book of James. And this morning, guess what? We're on chapter 5. So.
Amen. Whee!
Right? Well, we got one. But all right, so we're in chapter 5. And if I could get a volunteer to read the first 6 verses.
I will.
All right, Layla.
Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Oh. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you.
Hmm. All right.
My.
Yeah, there is a lot in here. So, okay. As is our custom, we're going to open up the floor and give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, Layla.
I just want to say one thing right off the bat. This isn't just talking about people that have money. I know everybody wants to go, see, I knew it. People that had money were wicked. They were evil. And the Lord doesn't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. What this is actually talking about is any person that is departed from the divine order of the Lord, hence the oppressor part, will be judged. They will be held accountable for the actions they do and don't do, just like the righteous will be held accountable and judged for the things they do and don't do. So this isn't, the Lord isn't just talking about people with money or people of a, pick something with dark hair, light hair, blue eyes, green eyes, doesn't really matter. What he's really talking about and at the core of this message is, are you a believer or are you not? The believers will be judged for what they do and don't do, and unbelievers will be judged for what they do and don't do. And each man's work will be tried by fire. That which remains will be a reward and a testament to that man. The ones that don't remain, obviously denoting that they're burned up, it's a loss, but the man himself will be saved. So there's a key here for us. It's not just about outward appearances. And also the Lord wasn't saying, now you have to feel miserable in your life, but what he was saying was repent before it's too late, before you run out of time. Going back to chapter 4 when we were talking and discussing about submitting ourselves to the Lord, because your life's a vapor. How do you know you're going to have another chance to say, Lord, I'm sorry tomorrow? How do you even know you're going to have it tomorrow? But you do know you have it today. So because you are living in today, go ahead and make that choice to be submitted to the Lord and to follow him. Repent. Say you're sorry, and I don't mean a fake phony, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I promise not to do this again, while you have your fingers crossed behind your back, your toes are crossed, your eyes are crossed, your hair is even crossed. No, a heartfelt, sincere repentance for what you did. And Dad always tells us, or he's asked us before, are you sorry about what you did, or are you sorry you got caught? And for many of us, we're sorry that we got caught, not necessarily repentant of the sin that we did that got us in that place. So for us, as we're looking and we're doing the work, we should not be withholding good from other people. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 5, within the first 10 verses, if you have in your hand the wages of your brother or your servant, give it to him. If mm-hmm. it's in your hand to do good, do it. Don't mm-hmm. say go and come back tomorrow and then maybe I'll give it to you. Charles, you have it?
Yes, that is Proverbs 3:27, okay. 28.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Well, there you have it. If you have the wages and what you promised, give it to them. Don't go, okay, tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'll give it to you. Send them away and go tomorrow, I'll give it to you. And then they come back and, okay, tomorrow's tomorrow, I'll give it to you. That's wrong. That's evil. That's wickedness in the sight of the Lord. So as James wrote about, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Maybe. I'll think about it. Depends on what you do for me today. Now it cries out, and it's on the books. You're accountable for it. Nobody wants, in the natural, we don't want to be shortchanged. When our employer refuses to pay us our wages, what we worked for and what we earned, we get upset about that. How much more so when we rob from others spiritually, when we keep back those spiritual wages that they were hoping for, that they needed mm-hmm. to be encouraged, edified, and built up, nourished, and replenished, how much more so? And they're crying out to the Lord going, you sent your servant, someone who said they're called by your name to do this for me, and they haven't done it. What kind of reputation does that leave?
Or they're giving they're doing, I think, so they are oppressing. I mean, that's the, it's mm-hmm. not just that they haven't done it, but they're oppressing the poor person. And even in this, you can compare it to other believers oppressing believers. Go ahead, honey.
Well, so in the last couple episodes, but especially the very last episode that we did, we were talking about the letting the Lord, right, clarify our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. We even went back to the example in Joseph and his brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to profit at his expense.
Yes.
First, they just wanted to kill him. They just wanted to eliminate him, get him out of the way. But then they saw these people, the Ishmaelites, the band of Ishmaelites pass by, and they had what they considered to be valuable stuff. Mm-hmm. So they sold him and mm-hmm. profited off them. This is a continuation of those things, right? Understanding what was just there. Especially verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing that to a far-off people, selling them into bondage. Not that that makes it right. It does not, mm-hmm. right? And we're told by the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, to do good to everyone, especially those mm-hmm. that are of the household of faith, amen. That are our brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
Not to get rich at their expense, not to profit or come up to a higher level of lifestyle, or as it says in here, you lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury, but at whose expense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus says it a different way, right? Or it's said in scripture a different way. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap, right? So this whole section, these six verses here, is literally, if you could boil it down, they are now experiencing or will experience the fruit of what they have sown, how they have treated their or not treated their neighbor, as in they didn't treat their neighbor as themselves. But as you said, you pointed out, honey, they oppressed them. They built themselves up, as we said in the last episode, off of the backs of or at the expense of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. So for us, we need to examine ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean that we can treat the oppressors any old kind of way, and we'll get to that starting in verse 7, right? But let's understand this at the core of it. This is a continuation of the points that the Lord is bringing up about walking in humility, just being submitted to the Lord to do his will or carry out his plan, his purpose, yes, his will, his covenant. He's our God and we're his people on the destiny track he has for us. Right?
Yes.
So now that I said that, I want to, again, open up the floor so everyone else has an opportunity to share as well.
I would like to go. The first thing that the Lord had me look at is that in here the word rich is used, but we don't fully understand what that is referring to. As humans, we like to place an image of rich as though you're living a lifestyle of having more than enough. You're decked out with gold and jewelry in your ears and doing essentially whatever you please. There's nothing too expensive for you. That's what we consider rich humans. But what the Lord considers rich is something totally different.
What, going by the verse, he makes rich and adds no sorrow to it.
Yes.
As you see here, just in verses 1 and 2, they're experiencing the exact opposite of that because they didn't allow the Lord to make them rich as the Lord views it, right?
You understand?
They tried to do it on their own.
And then he does reference gold and silver.
Exactly.
And garments and things like that, clothes, money.
Mm-hmm.
And he did reference position roughly, like when he was talking about if you see a poor man come in and a rich man, and you tell the poor man, sit at my feet, earlier in the book. But go ahead.
Yes, and how as humans, we take all that into account before we label someone as rich or poor. That's how we look at it. And the Lord was just reminding me of poor is not so much a status as it is a mindset behind it. Meaning that somebody could be physically wealthy, but if they have a poor mentality of, I'm not going to do what the Lord says, I'm going to squander and waste it, like the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. He had a poor mentality, and as such, he ended up poor, even though he started off with an abundance mm-hmm. of wealth and of natural resources. And so when we're looking at this, the Lord is talking about and referencing by the word rich, those who look on the outside as though they have got it all together. And this is something, Mommy, that you often tell us, is that this is where most people are deceived. They believe that they have to fight against those who are rich. And the Lord asked me the question. He said, would you, if I gave you what some other people had, would you act the same way? Of course, I wanted to answer, oh, no, Lord, of course I wouldn't. and then he asked me, and we had a conversation. I said, oh, Lord, like Jabez, if you will bless me indeed. And the Lord said, how can you ask for that? If the rich people are so bad, how can you ask for it? Mm-hmm. And he reminded me of that. Most people who have that mindset is never against the riches themselves, it's against who has them. They mm-hmm. feel as though it's not in their wallet or in their hands, it's bad.
Uh-huh.
And which is the scripture, he says the love of money. The love of money does not just mean the rich who has it. The poor man can love and covet money.
Just as easily.
Yes, and I'd like to take us to the book of Matthew, and this will be where he's talking to the unforgiving servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start inside of verse 21 just to get the context. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with the servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from your heart do not forgive your brother his trespasses. And which we see here, the Lord was in the side of this parable playing the reference of the wealthy man, the king. And notice that the fact it was not the king who was struggling, it was the man who had nothing. He owned thousands of talents, and in the biblical days, a talent was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like mm-hmm. 70 pounds of something, a lot. So he owed him over 700,000 pounds of gold he owed him, essentially. And the master forgave him all that. But the man who had the servant went and found a man who owed him 100 days worth of money and took him by the throat. And that's what the Lord was referencing. He's referencing the mindset behind them. And that's what James is getting at. He's not saying to the people that if you're wealthy, then you're automatically bad. He said, these are the people who oppress you, which conveniently is the scribes and the Pharisees that he's referencing. They're the ones who had most of the money, the fine garments, and loved to oppress those who came to them to do their work. They loved to do that. And he's saying, do not act like them, indirectly saying, do not act like them because their misery is going to come upon them. Do not think in your heart that it looks like it's working out for them, and as such, it'll work out for me, which is often the lie that the devil tells. He says, look at that person. Looks like they get it, as though nothing bad's ever happening to them. And as such, it leads people astray instead of holding on to that course that the Lord said, which, as you referenced that, we get to that in verse 7. And then he's saying that the corrosion of the silver and the gold does not necessarily mean that you're going to find literal holes inside of your money. It means you start to find areas where you notice that, I won't say the Lord is not pleased, you notice that it's not as fine as you think it was. The lifestyle that you want to live is not the glamour that people portray and that they say it is. You begin to notice the emptiness in your heart, and the emptiness inside of your mind. Even though you have all this physical stuff, you begin to notice what is truly happening. You notice that's when the Lord was referencing a thief and a robber will come in and take it. Moth will eat it. And that,
or in Revelation, right? You claim to have all this money and you say to yourself, I'm rich. But then the Lord's like, no, I tell you, you're poor, naked, and destitute.
Yes, Dan.
Right? You need to come buy from me gold, right? Without cost. Like,
yes.
Right? So let's understand that for ourselves. But please continue.
Yes, Dan. And it's more so their heart towards God. And that's what he said. You laid up treasure in what you thought the last day was. And this goes back to a reference that you made in some previous episodes, Leah, about the man who said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger. I'm not satisfied with this. I want to have more. And it was his mindset that said, I'm good enough. And as such, I should receive more because this is what my hands have done. That's why he said, soul, you have done well by yourself. You've laid up many goods for many years. Take your pleasure. Do as you will. And that's what the Lord was referencing. They're not wealthy towards God. Wealthy towards God is not so much financial as it is a mindset. Financial status has nothing to do with it.
It's a heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Heart first, or spirit, soul, and body.
Amen. And I agree with that. They found something else that they could trust in. And so basically that's the reference point. You're trusting in something else other than God, thinking it will save you. And what I just kind of snickered to myself as you were talking, you know, when people have clothes that they find are moth eaten, it's rare that they actually see the moth that did the damage, you know, that they find the moth right there. They just come back and find the clothes that are torn up or, you know, they've been destroyed, and they never see the particular moth who's guilty of that crime. So as we're walking through our life, it's important that we have our hope firmly tried and true, planted in the Lord, and that he is who we look to. He's our banner. He's our refuge. He's who we put our trust in, and not in these other things. And I absolutely agree that the rich and poor, like, and as we look at it as a metaphor, because God made Abraham rich, and God was not opposed to that. God made him rich and made a point to say, I made him rich, right?
Yes, Mommy.
That he made him rich and ministered to Abraham. So Abraham even said, no, God made me rich. You're not going to be able to have a claim here. So God is not opposed to that. God brought Israel out with wealth. He made them rich. So it's not about...
Out of Egypt, you mean?
Yes, brought them out of Egypt, and he made them rich. They really... I mean, how much money do you need to walk around in the desert? Right. And nobody's out there. I mean, everybody batting down their communities, basically.
There were a few times where he's like, okay, purchase from these ones, but that's it.
And that was rare, and that was just because he wanted to share a little bit of wealth with that particular, they were relatives, the children of Lot. But he had given them everything. What we read in, I think you read it in Exodus, or maybe you, LeCharles, read it in Exodus 8 in the previous episodes.
Deuteronomy 8?
Oh, Deuteronomy, yes, I'm sorry. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them food. He gave them water. He gave them clothes. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. He gave them shade. He gave them warmth. I mean, like, they didn't need anything from anybody else. So even the money they did spend, it was just to be a blessing to those, excuse me, those relatives of theirs. But the mindset and the attitude of, I have something else that I can trust in. I don't need God. And deeming that, because most of the time when people take that perspective, they feel like they're rich. They feel like they've got it all together because they've set up something else for themselves. And it does typically happen to be natural resources that they're hoping and trusting in. And the Lord is like, that's not going to work for you. But anyway, that we'll pause there for today, honey.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Excuse me. Well, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, LaCharles.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you've made us rich, Lord, and that you added no sorrow to it, Lord, and that you have given us an abundance of yourself, Lord, for that is the true riches that we desire, Lord. We desire you, Lord. And Lord, we just receive that, Lord. We just receive all the love that you pour abroad in our hearts, Lord, and that you have shown us, Lord, and that you continue to show us, Lord. And Lord, we just show that love to others who are around us, Lord, to let them know how much you love them, Lord, by our chaste conduct, Lord. And we just thank you for all these things, and we just ask you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.